What is up, everyone? As always, definitely sounds like everyone is happy to be here. And it is another episode of the Orbit Spaceman Show, and your host, as always, Orbit Spaceman, here. And I have a great, great guest today. I have Brandon here from Blood City Liars.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Ryan, how you doing today, Brandon? Man?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a beautiful day.
It is, on this nice leap day, you know, it's the 29th of February.
Perfect day to do something whimsical, like a podcast.
Right, exactly, right? When you do things on whimsical days, magic happens.
That's the hope.
So, man, gonna ask you, obviously, the normal question, you know, but what about Bluff City Liars, man? Like, how long you guys been doing that? Improv.
Bluff City Liars, we just, this month, we had our... like the 2-year anniversary of our first public show. So,
nice.
So we, a little bit longer, you know, while we were kind of getting formed and stuff like that. But as far as public appearances, we're about 2 years.
Okay, cool, man. That is awesome. That is definitely awesome. You probably heard my phone go off. It's because people want to know how awesome Brandon is. but it's cool, though. You know, I find a lot of improv groups, especially in Memphis. So how did you guys come about and come to the idea of doing an improv group?
Well, there always seems to be like one or two improv troupes in Memphis kind of at any given moment, at least my understanding of the history of improv is a long, long time ago there was a group called Freak Engine.
Huh?
And they did some kind of wild shows and got a kind of neat little cult following. Yeah. And I want to say they ran for 15 or more years. And just, you know, sometimes you gotta let those things end. So when they decided they were done, a couple of the people that had been in it spun off and made this group called MISC, M-I-S-C, Memphis Improv Sketch Collective. At the same time, there's a group called Wise Guys going on. And I ended up joining MISC. And I did that for about 2 years, and again, things end, but kind of around the time that MISC was, you know, seeing its finale, a few of us that were in it decided we were going to try to experiment more with long form comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So what you see in Whose Line Is It Anyway or mm-hmm. Wild and Out, they do what we call short form, and so the scenes are shorter. They have some type of gimmick attached to them. A game that you're supposed to be playing, a mechanic you're supposed to be playing into. And long form, we let it go for a little bit longer, and it doesn't have that gimmick attached to it. So you end up basically with kind of no safety net of mechanics to fall back on. You have to go improvise a one-act play, and it can be anywhere like 10 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
Some people go longer than that.
That's cool, though. That's cool. So, like, and that's cool because I myself didn't really know that there was a difference in improv, you know, that kind of stuff. I was like, you just go, like, just make it up on the spot and do what you do, you know. But it's cool to know that there is like a mechanic to it that, because I never thought about it. That I guess in some ways it's just kind of you're making it up as you go, and then kind of some of you have like a background for it as to what you're gonna do. So, which one do you prefer? I guess if you had to choose between the two.
Oh, man, I wouldn't want to choose.
Yeah.
Short form is definitely more of the crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
Because with that mechanic in play, it's a lot easier for the audience. They have something to attach to.
Yeah.
They have something that they can kind of hold you to and cheer and laugh when you succeed and kind of point and laugh when you fail. Either way, they're laughing as long as you're doing something around that mechanic.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, long form, you kind of just get more freedom. So it's fun to do the quick, punchy stuff in short form, and you know, just really, really show off your chops in playing these different games and stuff. And then long form is just it can be a little more heady.
Yeah,
it can be a little more abstract, and just the freedom, man. It's like it's like being a golden retriever let loose in a field full of tennis balls, ready to go. So
that's a good reference. So. Okay, so, and I guess with that question, or that being answered, I guess it opens this question for what is like a, what kind of headspace, I guess you say, when you're going into doing, to doing improv, like what kind of headspace do you go into, you know what I mean, are you just kind of like, up in the air, or are you just kind of like, I have an idea of some stuff, and just kind of like chop it up and kind of do it?
Well, the ideal is that you go in with nothing. You go in with no preconceived notions. You know, you get a suggestion from the audience, and you have kind of that moment from when they say it to when the scene starts to, you know, what, where's your mind go from there? And that's what you start with. And you kind of, as a team, you build, and so someone will get inspired one direction, somebody gets inspired the other. And it's your job to try to meet in the middle and work with each other. So, as far as the headspace that you get into, though, with short form and stuff, like I said, you're trying to process these rules.
Yeah.
And you can stay very in your head. You can get trapped in your head, honestly, doing that kind of stuff, trying to make sure that you're really hitting the meta of what you're doing.
Right.
But the ideal...
Kind of trying to stay on subject kind of thing and everything?
Yes, staying on subject and, like I said, staying in that mechanic that you've predefined that you're trying to play into. Long form, and really all improv, but long form specifically, it's better to be in the moment of what you're doing, and so kind of fade away from the world at large. It's best if you forget the audience is even there, and you try to focus on what you guys are doing in that scene, in that moment, and try to make that as real to you as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, I mean, I guess... One of my other questions, because I'm always curious, because me, myself, doing stand-up and stuff like that, and, like, I relate a lot of life-happening things or whatnot to my stand-up, but now I've never actually done, like, you know, like, improv, so it's, like, how do you come about doing, say, like, if the audience was just to throw you just, like, the weirdest ringer kind of thing, like, how do you come into that, like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do to combat that, or whatever, or like, you know, like, do you take a subject that may be thrown to you and use it as a, almost like a stand-up platform, you know, or is it more of like a thespian platform, I guess you say you're using it?
Oh, well, it's kind of both.
Yeah.
When we talk about improv, typically we're not referring to just improvisation, which you can do in anything, anywhere. Right. We're typically referring to improv comedy. And so improvisation is more of the, for our purposes, the theatrical side, right?
Yeah.
That's that more staying in the moment, trying to exist in this imaginary reality in a truthful way. And then the comedy is that more meta side, right?
Yeah.
Making jokes, making sure that you're playing into the mechanics of a game, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so ideally, there's no rules, air quotes.
Yeah.
There's no rules to improv. But we do have, we have three rules, or most improvisers agree on three rules, which is yes and, that's its own whole philosophy.
Yeah.
Avoid asking questions and don't go for jokes. That number three parts is very important, because if you're making jokes, you are participating outside of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You're being a comedian instead of being the human
this
reality that you've created.
Because it's kind of like the group. That group as a whole is the comedian kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. That definitely makes sense. That makes sense.
Of course, we make jokes every now and again, because sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes it's just right in front of you. And I don't know, I like to crack wise in my day-to-day, so it is very... that is my personality coming through in... You know, for better or worse, when I do make a joke in a scene, or when I say something that the intent is to be funny, maybe not necessarily make a joke, but to be funny.
Okay. All right. Cool. Would you consider improv, like, what on a scale, I guess you say, when it comes to doing the comedy genre as a whole, I guess you say, what would you put improv as far as, like, saying you got stand-up comics, you got improv, you got, like, actor type of comedy, all that kind of stuff. You know, just the many subjects of it, my best, I guess, better question I should put it is, where does improv stand in categories of itself? Considering, like, stand-up, you have a political type of stand-up, you have a day-to-day type of stand-up, or you have, you know what I mean? You have these different types of variations of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the same kind of thing when it comes to improv?
Oh, or for improv, sure. Like, groups, I guess. Are there sub-genres of improv?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So, other than even just the divide of short form, long form, you can do scenic-based stuff, and even within something scenic, you know, you can have a more narrative focus, making sure that you're telling a story that has an arc and a cohesive ending, middle, beginning, all that stuff. Or you can do more relationship-based improv, which is much more about the two people. And it doesn't necessarily have to go anywhere, as long as those two people are connected and interested in each other.
Right. Okay. Right?
And then there's much more, you know, in-your-face kind of stuff. There's a lot more subtle. You can do character-based improv, which is where you define a character for yourself, and you know a lot about this character pre-planned. But how they operate in the moment of what you're doing is still improvised.
Right.
And that kind of harkens back to the Commedia dell'arte, which is like the original improvisation. And like, I forget exactly when, but they did this thing where they would have theater troupes travel with masks, and each mask represented an archetype of characters that would commonly show up in theater.
Okay.
And then they would kind of just put these, I think it was like 6 different masks that they had. You just kind of put those people out on stage, and they know how the character they're playing would react. So no matter what is given to them, they can react in that character.
Okay.
And that's still, that's a different kind of improvisation. There's all manners. There's musical improv.
Yeah.
I've seen an improvised puppet show.
Because I've never actually thought about it, you know what I'm saying, in that way, that there would be so many in that. Because, I mean, like I said, doing stand-up is like, there's a million sub-jobs, it feels like. What would you say, I guess you say you guys, mostly like, where you guys say you stand in that subgenre of improv?
I would say that a lot of what we do is pretty scenic. We definitely play into game a fair amount of the time, which is where, you know, when something emerges in a scene, a pattern that you can kind of keep playing into and heightening and making it a little more ridiculous and finding these new clever ways to attack it. That's game-based improv outside of, you know, different than a short-form game. I think we do, we're fairly scenic. I think we drift narrative. I would always like to be a little more relational, because there's a balance. You got to have a little bit of both. How would I describe us? I think that we're fun. It's tough to say. Every single show is going to be different. And, you know, it's not a large group, but, you know, there's about 10 of us at this moment. It's kind of fluid who's in and out. So the play style changes depending on the makeup of the group on stage at the time.
Okay. All right, cool. Do you guys, because I'm being a silly question, being improv and stuff like that, do you guys just come up with the general idea, or do you guys have like a like a writing session and kind of like come up with some stuff and then kind of just go around that? Or like, how do you guys come up with your ideas for shows to do?
We'll pick a theme. We do 4 shows a year with Theater Works, more or less. That we were in Theater Works. We have this whole stage in front of us. It's a little bit more of a theater space versus some of our like bar prop shows that we do. Mm-hmm. And so we try to theme those, and we'll put effort into the theme and making sure that the games that we're playing, the forms that we're doing, all have some overarching relation to each other. But as far as the content of what we do, not at all. You get a suggestion, and you don't get to be thinking about where you're going to go with the scene until you get that suggestion, and then pretty much the scene starts immediately. And after that point, you know, you can have your idea of where you think it's going to go.
Yeah.
Um, it's a little bit rude to push that too hard because it is, it's a team sport.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's, you can have an idea of where you want to go with it, but it ultimately depends on what are your scene partners doing. Mm-hmm. And the best improvisers roll with what their scene partners are doing. And if both or all people on stage are doing that, then you're playing into that ultimate collaborative side of it. And that's really the beauty of it, I think.
Okay. That's awesome. That's really cool because, man, this is so much, it seems like improv, a lot of times people take improv and they're like, it's so easy, you just go up there and do something. But it definitely seems like it's a lot more, like, in-depth and complicated more so than it seems. I think my next question was that, like, where do you guys see yourselves going with you guys' improv? Like, are you guys you just looking to do, like, local things? Are you guys looking to take it further? Stuff like that?
I always love being able to get out and play another city if we can. Pretty early on, we did a festival in Atlanta called Spontaneous Combustion. We haven't done any festivals and such since then. For the time being, I think we decided to kind of focus on making sure that we've got the kind of grassroots network at home that we can make sure we're sustaining ourselves. But definitely there's comedy festivals. There's specifically improv festivals all over the country that, you know, some of them would be amazing to go to. Some of them would be phenomenal to go to. Yeah. They're too far away.
Yeah.
Chicago is about 8 hours drive from here. LA's
for 10 people. Yeah. Yeah, it's expensive as hell.
But yeah, for sure. We're mostly local for the time being. We've talked about trying to get a show that can travel, so we can, you know, start building more of like a regional base.
Yeah, like a mini tour kind of thing.
Yeah, and maybe. And it's kind of like you said though earlier with with improv. A lot of people think it's easy to do. I think it's easy to do. It is very, very difficult to do well.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Because, like, improv, I think the way you were explaining, I'm like, improv is, it would be kind of like if you're doing comedy, but in a band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because it's like it's like a jam band nonetheless, because it's like you're going on stage and it's like, you're playing Fish and he's playing Dave Matthews, but it works. You know, like.
Yeah. If I would talk about the difference between like stand up and improv, stand up is very much like a singer songwriter going up with a guitar. Like you've got your personal stuff that you're going to put out on the table, and it's all coming from you. And then improv is much more like you're talking about like a jazz band or something that, you know, it's a group effort. You don't really know what's coming up, but as long as everybody's supporting everybody else, then it hopefully works out.
Yeah.
even the best improvisers in front of the best crowds, man, sometimes you just, the unknown nature of what you're doing, sometimes
Cool, man. Well, that's good to do. That's always good to know. I'm going to ask you some stuff about yourself, too, but I'll definitely say, if you got any promo, because I know you guys have got shows and stuff coming up and stuff like that. So
Absolutely. We've got coming up at Theater Works at Overton Square, March 6th and 7th. We're doing one of our big theme shows I was telling you about.
Okay.
This is the Lies of March.
Lies of March. Nice.
They said you couldn't make an improv show themed entirely on the month of March, and we said, fooey. and then after that, we'll have Lyrish Legends at the Brass Door, the Irish pub downtown.
Okay.
That'll be the weekend after St. Patrick's Day, and we'll go over some Irish folklore, tales of St. Patrick, and other, you know, heroes from Irish mythos and stuff like that.
Nice. Good bar stories.
And then beyond that March 20th show, the first Friday of every month at the Brass Door, also downtown, we have a show called Improv Underground.
Okay.
Which is about an hour of high-octane short-form comedy. Mm-hmm. And then we do about a 30-minute long-form set, so people kind of get a taste of both sides of what we do. And there's another subgenre is barprov. when you're doing improv in a bar setting rather than a theater, it tends to be a little more a little edgier, a little raunchier, a little louder.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on. So that's a pretty fun show. we don't get too crazy.
Yeah. Damn, that definitely sounds pretty awesome. And I'll definitely put a link for people to find all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And anyone that BluffCityWires.com, as well as at BluffCityWires on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's the four best ways to find us and keep up with what we're doing. So.
Definitely, man. Definitely. So everybody should definitely check them out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social medias. And because your grandma sure has a tablet, put it on her tablet and let her watch it too, because it's going to be great.
Yeah, we'll do improv for grandma.
So, some random questions now.
Okay.
Because you touched on the stand-up and the improv differences and stuff like that. But one of those questions when it comes to stand-up and stuff too, how do you see stand-up nowadays in comparison? Because you being affiliated in stand-up and comedy and things like that, period, the time has changed, it seems like, you know, majorly. And it seems like I was having a conversation with a person, and I was like, it seems like it's changed for, the third time. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's always changing.
Yeah.
And it's been changing since it was incepted in gosh, what, the 40s?
Yeah.
So, the differences I've seen over the years, I guess, around the time I was born, but definitely was not watching comedy at that day. You know, you had your Jerry Seinfelds and people doing, observational, did you ever notice this? By the time I started really paying attention to comedy, I guess it would be in the early to mid-2000s, around the, Dane Cook sticks out.
Yeah, okay.
we may not like him as much these days, but undeniable, he was a force to be reckoned with at the time, and that was just like this in-your-face, edgy. He'll talk about anything. He was throwing his body around on the stage, that kind of stuff. Mm. And then I've noticed that we've taken a turn for the more narrative in stand-up. A lot of people like to tell stories instead of telling jokes and tell a humorous anecdote that's peppered with jokes and stuff like that. But it's very much stand-ups, I feel like, are drifting into a more one-man show or one-person show with time, and it becomes much more of them putting themselves out on the stage and telling their story and convincing you that it's funny in the meantime, even if it's sad. Pete Holmes, Faces and Sounds, has got to be one of my favorite stand-up specials from the last few years. And he's just telling stories. He's just telling anecdotes. And I probably would never have guessed that would be something that I would just love. But I think he nailed it. Nanette, I think, caused a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
But with Nanette, you know, it was a lot less of a straight stand-up special, and it was more of that one-woman show where she was putting her story and her pain and stuff out there. And finding the humor and helping people relate to these parts of her life and stuff. So it's, I don't know, I think the move away from just straight punchlines and jokes isn't a bad one. And then, of course, you still have comedians that do that. And so now it makes, when they do their one-liners and what have you, it makes it all the more special. Because it's not, that's not saturating the airwaves. I think we've diversified a lot because it's easier to get your comedy out there with the digital age. And so, you know, you have more access to more people, more viewpoints, more styles.
Okay. Cool. Cause you said that for Pete Holmes. Cause that was my next question. My next one was what are your top three? Well, I would say, I don't know if they make, maybe you probably can answer that question. Are there improv specials?
there are. It's, you can film improv.
Yeah.
You can absolutely film improv. The magic of it, I think, comes from seeing it live and knowing that the people in front of you could mess up at any moment. When you're watching a video, they still might mess up, but you know, there's a lot less, you could skip ahead and find out.
It wasn't like, oh, I was in the moment and like the funny catchback to it or anything like that.
Yeah, but for sure there, you can film it. I've seen some great film sets, anything from, you know, just a static camera, just kind of watching it as you would from the audience point of view, or UCB has put out a few, like, hour-long specials of their show, ASCAT, which gets a little bit edited. Mm-hmm. Some of the dead time gets cut out, but that makes for a better video.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? There was a show called House of Lies, mm-hmm. I think. And they did a great special to promote their television show. They had the actors go do an improv set, and I had no idea Kristen Bell and Don Cheadle could do improv. They nailed it. So.
Nice. Nice. Cool. Let's see. Who would be your favorite improvers?
My favorite improviser, say, of all time. It's tough to say. So I grew up on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And being kind of tall, kind of lanky, kind of goofy, I always connected with Ryan Stiles. I absolutely adore everything that he did on that show. Colin Mochrie, Greg Proops, Wayne Brady, also just three amazing staples of that show that I have the utmost respect for in their improv, especially Wayne Brady. Yeah. He can go from acting improv to musical improv on a dime, and he can nail any style, keeping it in tempo, in pitch, and rhyming, and still make sense and be funny. Bizarre talent. And then there's just so many, and it's hard to get access to all of them, but on the national scale, there's a duo called TJ and Dave. It's TJ Jagodowski and Dave Pasquese. They operate out of Chicago, mostly New York sometimes, and they'll go on, just the two of them. They don't even get a suggestion. The lights come up, they make eye contact with each other, and that's how they decide what's going to happen next. Yeah. And these two kind of just normal-looking dudes absolutely can command the stage for an hour to an hour and a half and keep you just sweating with them.
Definitely have to check that out.
As far as maybe like less known, I was in Chicago somewhere recently and I saw a group called Anarchy.
Right.
And talking about how difficult it is to do musical improv, they did a 45-minute improvised rock opera based off of just the word bus stop. They had a guitarist and a slash pianist. He would switch back and forth, and one guy kind of on like a little drum box.
Yeah.
And then there were, I want to say there were seven singers that were, they were telling a story in their singing. It was all good singing. Yeah. It was like the theatrical, musical level singing. They had 3 and 4 part harmonies going. They had different characters, staying in characters while they sang and you know, sharing that focus of going from one person to the next so effortlessly. The first song that they did when that started, I was like, if this was rehearsed, I would believe you. Like, you told me that. But it wasn't, because it was just, it's so incredible. And there's, I don't know, Felt is another good show in Chicago I saw. I don't know the name of the performers because they rotate out, but that was the improvised puppet show.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. They made it look and sound like Sesame Street, but then the actual comedy that they were doing was just filthy.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious disconnect for me.
Nice. Nice. Because it's like you're kind of like, you're looking at it and you're like, this is going to be super clean. And then it's not. I think that does make something extra funny. Okay. And then how do you feel about like certain shows? I guess, I don't know. I guess you call them like some like semi-improv shows.
Yeah, like but, Always Sunny or something.
Yeah, like that, or either like Curb Your Enthusiasm, stuff like that. And, like, how do you think, what do you feel about those type of shows?
Oh, man, I love that. It, There's a certain quality that comes from improvising within a structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they're basically doing character based improv, right? You know, they get into the mindset of Charlie and Dennis and Mac and Dee and Frank, and they know kind of, I want to say that they know where they're starting, they know what they want to cover vaguely in the middle, and they know where they want to end, and then they just go.
Right.
And when they just go, you get these very honest, off-the-cuff moments that give it this very ephemeral charm that, I don't know, it's great. I also know that a lot of people, improv is basically playing pretend, and so it can sound very childish when you put it that way, which is one thing I like about it, is it does help you feel like a kid again in some regards, but to see shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm or Always Sunny or any other that operates that way, it gives it a little more credence. It's like look, you can do something bigger and like that with it, so... Yeah. I'm a fan. I love Always Sunny. I've heard I need to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What's funny is I started off on Curb Your Enthusiasm first, and then I went to Sunny. But I'm a huge Danny DeVito fan too. So
who is it?
But yeah, man, that's pretty much all my random questions. My last random question, which has absolutely nothing to do with comedy. But, alright, so, if you had the choice to either win the lottery, be a superhero, or just be the Invisible Man, which one would you choose?
Well, it's not going to be the Invisible Man. That's very clearly defined, and I don't think, if I wanted a superpower, that's not the one I want. So, I guess it depends. What's the payout for the lottery, and what's the superpower? I mean,
The superpower is whatever power you choose, and then the lottery is whatever number you come up with.
Man. Well, money is always great, but I would worry it would corrupt me. to keep in the theme of what we're talking about, I would probably have to go with being a superhero. The power I've always been fascinated with is shapeshifting.
Okay.
Like, kind of, by Mystique rules in X-Men is the best, because she had absolute free reign. If it was, like, Animorphs rules from those books,
That's a nice reference.
I'd swallow my pride, and I'd take Animorphs rules as well. But, yeah, that's one thing I love about improv, is that you can shapeshift.
Yeah.
You can become anyone you want to. I'm Brandon in everyday life. And when I go out on stage, you know, I can be an old woman, I can be a child, I can be an alien, I could be a bear with a British accent. I mean, you can be anything.
Yeah.
There's no overhead to improv.
Right.
You can have all the Michael Bay explosions that you want, and it costs $0 because it's in your imagination.
Yeah. Nice. It's like a Tim Burton movie. So, all right, the last question is, dead or alive, if you could choose to go to any concert, which concert would it be?
Oh, 100%. Fourth Day of Woodstock, Jimi Hendrix waking up the crowd with his rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
Nice.
I've
never gotten a Woodstock one, so that's nice. That's pretty cool, man.
They say if you remember it, you weren't there. But but yeah, I think there was something crazy about that whole festival. You know, it was paid, and then it was free, and then it was such a rush, people rushing to get there, that acts couldn't actually make it to the stage when they were supposed to, so they had to switch up the lineup, and then, you know, Jimi Hendrix didn't even get to play on that third day, and that's why there was just that kind of fourth day with people sleeping in a field, and he makes this amazing protest statement with his, you know, sort of like this warscape sounds that he's cranking out of his guitar during the Star Spangled Banner, and I'm sure that was just so intriguing to be like, what the heck is going on? And then right when you get it figured out, and he goes right into Purple Haze. Yeah. That always, that's always seemed like the concert. If you could go see any concert, it would be that concert.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. I would definitely, you know what, I'm definitely going to add that to the top of the list, because I've never had anybody say that one on the show yet.
Awesome. Glad to be original.
Yeah, definitely, man. Of course, got to be original. Improv. So, Brandon, man, it's been nice having you on the show, man. talking about improv and talking about comedy. Once more, give them a rundown of where they can find you, yourself, and they can find the Bluff City Liars, too.
BluffCityLiars.com, at Bluff City Liars, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As far as upcoming shows, March 6th and 7th at Theater Works Overton Square for The Lies of March. March 20th, Brass Door Downtown for Liverish Legends. And beyond that, the first Friday of every month at the Brass Door Downtown is Improv Underground. You might get a trophy if you come to that one. So check it out.
Nice, nice. And, as always, this is Orbit Spaceman Show, and you can donate and be awesome to the show by going to Cash App and donating to the show at Two Baked Studios. You can also, if you like the show as well, you check out some of the great people who make the show an amazing thing to listen to. You can check out BU, who is a hair product company, and they sell great hair products for all types of hair. Whether you got nappy hair, good hair, straight hair, or you got bush hair. Well, they can help you get it hooked up. So definitely check them out on Facebook and on Instagram. And, as always, don't forget to drink water. Don't be stupid.